Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, the congregation that I pastor has a wide variety of races and cultures, and it's a beautiful thing to behold. We really get along well together as a congregation, and we enjoy that. We also celebrate our differences as far as our cultures are concerned, and that showed itself the other day when we were singing praise songs. One of the praise leaders was Spanish-speaking, and we decided to put one chorus, actually one stanza, in Spanish. Mm. And so the words were on the screen in Spanish, and that one Spanish-speaking praise leader was leading that with a beautiful voice. But it was amazing how the number of people singing was reduced to those who were comfortable with Spanish. The rest of us might have been able to extrapolate, you know, something that sounded like Spanish.
But you didn't know what you were saying,
that
really.
We would not have known what we were saying. Mm-hmm. And so most of us just were quiet because we could not sing the song because we did not know the language.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned this because the same exact thing happens in the book of Revelation with the song that only a group of people can sing and nobody else can understand. Because they have not lived through the same thing, so they can't sing it because they don't speak that language per se.
That's right.
Before we go to the chapter 14 of Revelation, if you don't mind, Mike, I would like to give a contextualizing of what has happened the previous chapter, 13. I think it's important for us to understand that the book of Revelation is a dualistic book, right? Everything comes in two, and you are either in one side or the other.
Yeah, there's a good side, there's a bad side, there's a good city, a good trinity, a bad trinity, those kinds of things.
Exactly, and by now you probably have in your mind, we have Christ and the devil, we have Babylon is a bad city, and Jerusalem is a good city.
Right.
We have two women, a harlot and a good woman.
The bride.
And all of them represent the same thing, and the group that follows those people. And we also have a number. The number seven, since the very beginning, is the number of God.
It's the number of completion, the number of perfection.
And we have three people. So we have God the Father and the Spirit and Jesus Christ, who form the Trinity of God. Mm-hmm. Well, right before the chapter 14, we find that there is a counterfeit to God that the devil is bringing. And he also has two people with him, a beast and a false prophet that form the evil Trinity, per se. And interestingly enough, their number
is
not
six.
Yeah, it's not seven.
No, it is the number of man, which is six, and it's the number of incompletion or imperfection.
Yeah, and you know, I found something very interesting because the two cities, Babylon and New Jerusalem, I found out that Babylon used to have the sexagesimal system of math.
Say that three times real fast.
Sexagesimal means that their math was based in number six, so they have everything in multiples of six or 60. And we have that system, for example, for angles, you know, 360 degrees.
Right.
And their priest used to wear this amulet that had six groups of number vertically and horizontally. And if you added them either horizontally or vertically, they all added 666. And I thought it was very interesting that Babylon in its system had so ingrained the number six. And it's so appropriate here that we have the Trinity of Evil and the number being 666.
Right. And that number 666 has been extrapolated so many different ways. And really, some of them have been quite a reach.
Yeah.
But really, it's symbolic of the way of man versus the way of God.
Absolutely.
The counterfeit for the genuine. And that's really what it's about.
Yes. And if you remember, because everything is dualistic, we have the same thing on one side and the other. So remember in chapter 7, God has sealed his people. In chapter 13, then we have the image of the beast, the false prophet, sealing his people and their forehead as well. So when we start chapter 14, this is in contrast to what we just read on chapter 13, verse 16, that they're receiving a mark on their forehead, the mark of the beast. Now we find 144,000 who have already also received the name and the number of God on their foreheads. And that's how we start chapter 14.
Verse 1, and I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his father written on their forehead.
So this is in contrast, if you want to go back and read chapter 13, we have now the group of God. These are the people that have been redeemed from humanity.
And again, that number 144,000, this is symbolic of those who come from the earth. 12 times 12,000, 12,000 from each of the tribes is basically what it's talking about. So it's a symbolic number of those who are redeemed.
And those are the people that are singing this song. And this song is very interesting because it only comes from the mouth of those that have been redeemed. And nobody else can sing it because nobody else has been redeemed.
Angels can't sing this. They've not been redeemed. They've not needed the redemption that we've needed.
So maybe we can read verse 3.
Verse 3 says, "And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth."
So if you remember, this is a very similar description to what we found in chapter 1, talking about Jesus Christ dying for our sins and purchasing from the earth all these people from tribes and different tongues, etc., etc. And the people that sing this new song are the ones that were in need of that purchasing.
They have been purchased by the blood of Christ. They are the first fruits of God and the Lamb. And so they have the right to sing the song. And we will be singing that song in heaven. When we're singing praises to the Lord in heaven, all of a sudden the angels will have to be quiet. Visitors from other planets will have to be quiet. Mm-hmm. Only those who have been redeemed will sing this song.
And it's not because it's in Spanish.
No.
It's because this is the actual redemption song, yeah. Those that have been redeemed. And then we get a very interesting section of chapter 14. Where we have the final warning of choosing who you're going to worship. And this is done through three angels.
And really, the issue in Revelation, I think more than anything else, is an issue of worship. Who do you worship? You've got two choices. You've got the good choice or the bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a warning to us about this. Verse 6, "And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and spring of waters.'"
Well, the first angel's message I really like because it's using very specific words. For example, gospel. Mm-hmm. The word gospel comes from the Old English,
God spell,
which mm-hmm. meant good news.
Good
That's
news.
Where we get. Actually, in the Greek, it's easier to see it, evangelion, the good news. This was a word used in the Old Testament in the translation in the Greek, in many places where somebody would come with good news, for example, that the king had won and that the city was now safe, for example. We have it in Isaiah 52, verse 7. "Blessed is the one that comes with good news."
Mm-hmm.
And the word is exactly the one, evangelion, with the gospel. They're coming with this good news that something is happening.
And it's interesting that the first warning message to planet Earth, the first of the last three warning messages, is this good news. Jesus Christ has died for your sins. That is the warning message. And then it is a call to worship the Creator God of the universe.
Yes, and worship also comes from the Old English worth-ship. Which one is worth of your praise?
To ascribe worth to the one who is worthy.
So the first thing the angel does is to say who is the one that should be worshipped.
And that is the Creator God of the universe, the one who has made heaven and earth, the spring and of waters.
Now, the second angel is the one that says, by the way, if you were thinking of worshiping the other people,
right,
let me tell you what has happened to them.
That's right. And remember, we've got two cities. We've got the Jerusalem and we've got Babylon. Mm-hmm. And it says, another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality."
So the second angel actually says that the other system that is not the one of God, that mm-hmm. is not the one that preaches the gospel, which is an eternal gospel, the same way that Paul preached mm-hmm. it, and every time the gospel is preached, it's everlasting, it's the same gospel. Babylon is not preaching the gospel, and it has fallen.
Again, these two cities are representative of two choices. We've got the choice of man, the choice of the world, and we've got the choice of God, which is the New Jerusalem.
You know, one of the things I find interesting is Babylon stands for the pride of man. You mm-hmm. remember Babylon, even Nebuchadnezzar, when he mm-hmm. got proud and he
defied. This great Babylon, which I have built, shall last
correct.
Forever. Right.
And God said, oh yeah? really? So let me show you who is God here. So here we have, in the first angel says the first choice you have. The second angel says the second choice. And the third angel says, it's time for you to make a decision. You either get the mark of the gospel or you get the mark of Babylon. And if you decide for the second mark, then unfortunately you're into judgment.
That's right. And verse 9 says, and another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, this mark is, again, it's a symbolic thing. It's a decision to believe something, or it is a decision to go along with something, even though you don't believe it, in the forehead or in the hand. And it means making the choice for man's system versus God's system.
Yes. You know, one of my favorite authors that talks about both Jesus and the book of Revelation is a woman called Ellen G. White that some of you are familiar with. And she has that wonderful phrase that she was asked, what is the content of the third angel's message? Mm-hmm. And she said, it is the righteousness of Christ. We need to preach that the only way to salvation is the righteousness of Christ versus what the other system offers.
And that's exactly what this is saying. You've got a choice. You can choose Babylon, and that is the way of man, the pride of man, or you can choose the New Jerusalem, which means trusting in the merits of Jesus Christ for your salvation.
This is the third angel message, and we invite you today to find comfort in the fact that judgment is not a bad thing for those who believe in God. It's the time when evil ends and we go home.
And the righteous are justified.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.